Our second scripture today follows on the heels of the first. It continues Mark chapter 5, and it goes on to tell what happens in the other part of that story, the story of the father with the very sick daughter at the point of death. So we hear the rest of the story, how it unfolds for Jesus. Listen for the word of the Lord in your life today. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, Jesus said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have another healing story that I heard that warmed my heart. There was a pediatric neurosurgeon in Nova Scotia named Dr. Daniel McNeely, and he had years of experience dealing with very frightened patients and, of course, their very frightened families. But it was a first for Dr. McNeely when a little 8-year-old patient named Jackson, before his brain surgery, had a very specific request. He said, "Doctor, please, would you stitch up this rip in my teddy bear?" And the doctor's response, of course, was, "Well, how can I say no?" So after doing surgery on this child's brain, he changed his gloves and used the leftover stitches and performed this very important tear repair for this little boy. And the family was so overwhelmed with gratitude that he had gone that extra mile. And to me, that shows how so many of the healing things that we do for each other have nothing to do with what was wrong in the first place. They meet a need that maybe we didn't even know we had that was so deep. And why do I tell you that story? Well, it's because in Mark's gospel today, there is yet another healing story. This is an ongoing, constant theme with him. He really, really loves healings. There is something about Jesus making so many different people well that is crucial to Mark's message about who Jesus really is. So this story today, it's actually what biblical scholars, I'm not making this up, they call this a Mark sandwich. It's a story within a story. And he does that a lot. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But the story today shows Jesus had just returned from across the lake. And before he even has a chance to catch his breath, he's met with another crowd, a crowd pressing in on him with a lot of demands. And Jesus was not one who wanted to be a superstar. He didn't want to be up on stage in front of a crowd. He didn't care about the crowd. He cared about individual persons and transforming their lives. And that's what happens today in this story with these two women. Both women were sick enough that they were deemed beyond anybody's help. No doctor could help. No priest could help. Their situations both seemed really hopeless and desperate. But they were very different sorts of women, very different walks of life. That first story you heard with the father and the daughter, this young woman is brought by her father, her advocate, who was not going to give up on his little girl. He goes to Jesus. And Jairus, this man, he's a prominent man. He's a VIP, an important person, and he was going to do everything he could for her. But he doesn't approach Jesus saying, "Hey, you know, I'm a very important person. You need to help me." He goes to him as a father, willing to do anything. And most of us would not do anything different. We would just go to Jesus if we were in that dire state and say, "Anything, anything that could help." And this was a big risk for Jairus because synagogue leaders at that time, they had this big, long established religion, and Jesus was a new, controversial prophet. So it didn't make him look good going to him saying, "Maybe he can heal my daughter. But if your child is sick, don't you know, you'll try anything. You'll do anything to make them better." And Jesus does agree to go with Jairus and try to help his daughter. And they hurry over with no time to waste. and the crowd follows along, thinking, oh, what's he going to do now? This is another show for us. And then that's when there's another interruption. This other story just breaks into the first story. That Mark sandwich happens, where this unnamed woman comes. She's not named because she's a nobody at this point. Up to now, she's been ill for 12 years. That's as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive. And you know, Mark is only 16 chapters long. It's a short gospel. He's short on words. He makes that point for a reason, those numbers being parallel, that she's been ill for 12 years. This daughter is 12 years old. They are connected. And unlike people today with chronic illness, this woman who'd been ill for 12 years, she didn't have a case manager or a treatment plan or any kind of support. No advocate, no father, no Jairus, nobody in her corner. She was on her own. And Mark goes to lengths to say, this woman has spent every penny she has. She's tried to find answers, tried to find a cure, and nothing is working. Now, maybe some of you can relate to that, these mystery illnesses, and nothing really works, and you're just having to live with it and manage it. And that's where she is. She's desperate. And she's thinking to herself, you know what? Jesus, this man, is clearly very important. I'm not going to stop him. I'm not going to get him to talk to me. He probably wouldn't want to talk to me. If I just touch the bottom of his robe, he won't even know, but it could help me. That's how desperate she is. But the thing is, Jesus does know. He feels it. He feels her touch. And even more so, he says he felt power go out of him because this unnamed woman was right. Just touching him was enough to help her, and it brought them into contact. If you reach out and touch someone, you're being touched too. There's contact there, just for a moment. And when Jesus saw her, he didn't point fingers at her. He didn't say, how dare you? I'm on my way someplace important. He's basically like a doctor running to a code blue. He could have gotten really mad, but he didn't. He took the time to talk to her. And he sent the message to the whole crowd, this unnamed woman is no less important than this other person, this very important person's daughter. They are both important. And now back to that other story, the father with the sick daughter. Jesus has healed this woman on the street, but he has not forgotten. He has not forgotten about Jairus' daughter, but it looks that way to everyone else because they're saying, well, there's no point now. You shouldn't have stopped. This girl is as good as dead. There's no point to even going. You can't do anything there. And Jesus doesn't listen to them. He brings only his closest disciples. He sends the wailing and screaming crowds away, and he tells this little girl to get up, and she does. And this is cool. The first thing Jesus asks for her to have is food. He says, give her something to eat. Now, I think that's sort of weird. At first, when I read it, I thought, this huge glowing miracle, and this is not the right time for a snack. Let's all celebrate. But he wants her to do what alive people do. When you're alive, you eat. So he wants her to be alive. That's really cool. Just out in the narthex after the first service, I had to share this with you because it made me laugh so hard. One of the people who came to the 9:30 service had read online about a man who was in a 12-year coma, and he woke up, and do you know what the first thing he said was? Did anybody hear this story? Get me some Taco Bell. You can't pay for that kind of publicity, right? And they got it for him, because that's what alive people do. Get the man his Taco Bell, right? So once again, these healing stories in Mark, they highlight what I think is such a theme for him, that healing is about more than just healing that physical illness. It's bigger than our physical bodies. There's more going on there, especially with that interruption story, that cheese and the Mark sandwich, this woman. Because Jesus could have let the bleeding woman just have her healing. He could have said, oh good, she's healed, and moved on. He could have kept going because he had someplace important to be. But instead, for him to stop and talk to her, and to call her daughter, that is so huge, because when you were sick back then, you were shunned by everyone. She had been isolated for 12 years, not just sick, but isolated all by herself. And to have this connection, to have him make time to sit and look at her and talk to her, was just as healing, I think, as the physical healing. That's what Jesus is all about. He cares about the whole person, every one of us being healed. And in a similar way, Mark is up to something when he shows us that story within a story. He put those together for a reason, to shed light on something important, to show us that Jesus' values are not what the world's values would say. The world would say, this man has status, so he has greater say. He shouldn't have to wait in the long line and deal with inconveniences like the rest of us, right? Isn't that how the world works? Like the fast pass at Disney World or something? This man should have gotten straight to the front of the line and gotten whatever he wants. But that's not how Jesus sees it, not at all. Instead, he thinks our healing does not need to be in competition with each other. There's more than enough to go around. There's more than enough healing and salvation for everybody. And our healing is bound up in that other person's healing, just like Dr. King said. So the other thing I think Mark is up to is he puts these stories together to show us that Jesus has a whole ministry of interruptions. Jesus does not follow some strategic plan for every day. He doesn't have a 5 or 10 year plan and goals, a to-do list for every day. Everything he does is determined by who puts themselves in front of him. And he is fully present with that person. Now, how he does what he does, the person he is, that's his plan. But what he actually does day to day is determined by us. People putting themselves in his path and saying, I need you. Jesus always has time for people who admit that they need him. And can we be the same way? Can we be people who are willing to tolerate interruptions? Interruptions to our plans and our schedules, and especially interruptions to how we think things should be. That's one of the hardest ones. Can we deal with that? Our idea of how we think things should be being changed by something that God is trying to do. And I wonder even, why do we come to church? Why do we come to church week after week? Do we feel a need inside? Or is it just, that's what you do? That's what we were taught to do? That's what our family always said we should do? We're still in this Epiphany season. Until Lent starts on Ash Wednesday, we're in this season called Epiphany. And it's not just meant to be the end of Christmas. It's actually meant to be the beginning of something, if we let it be. Because Epiphany means shedding light on our lives, that aha moment, that light bulb going off. It's all about light, something new, something that drives us to change. And can we be open to that? Because that's an interruption. Do you come here today with actual needs inside? And maybe think to yourself, well, I didn't think I'd get any needs met at church. I'm just coming because that's what you do. But maybe you have a real need beyond your body. Maybe you're angry at someone, or you feel lonely, or you're grieving something. You feel like other people don't understand you. Maybe you just generally feel like you don't know what you're doing. We all have things like that. I know I do. Things where we just feel like healing and wholeness is needed, that we're just not complete. But to admit that goes against the grain of everything the world teaches us, because we want to see ourselves as independent and strong and able to do for ourselves. Church and faith, that's just what we do, right? But it's meant to be more personal than that. There's a reason why we all come here. It's meant to be an invitation week after week into deeper relationship, into meeting that need. That's why we're here. And that's why Jesus is here too, showing up week after week. He came for each one of us. He loves each one of us, not as a crowd, but as individual persons. Thanks be to God.